Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for all that He's doing. God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Brother Harden would say His chesed endures forever, which means more than mercy. All forms of blessings. Now, we love God, and God loves us, but we learn His love more and more as we obey Him. In yesterday's broadcast, I was talking about how the Lord titled it "Seed Form." Seed Form. It's on the website. And when we do things in seed form, we go forward. What we do now will shape the future. What we do now will shape the future. If we drive out all darkness out of our hearts, the things that are in seed form, that's dark, the leaven of the world, if we drive it out and then walk in the light of God's word, we're going to automatically put the future, our future, and our influence on a greater path. Everybody has influence. Everybody has influence. Whatever you believe, that's your influence. Whatever you believe, that's what you'll do, and that becomes your influence. Whatever's in your heart is your influence. It's your suggestion. It's your persuasion. It's your advice. It becomes your advice. Because with it, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The abundance of the heart, the body acts on. Whatever we take time to put in our heart, that's what we're going to be. Now, in yesterday's broadcast, we shared about how Judah had 7 victories. And they were the most obedient tribe out of all of them. They began to take the land. And they took Jerusalem. They drove out the Canaanites. They started with Bezek, Adonai Bezek, and Bezek. They destroyed him, and they cut off all of his. They cut off his thumbs and his big toes. This is what he did to other tribes in the area. And when he take other people's lands, he cut off the king's thumbs and big toes. And fed a meat under his table. Now imagine a king trying to eat meat without thumbs, under a table, and without toes. Well, when Judah took, when they had the victory over Bezek, and they took Adonai Bezek, they cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Then he said, God has requited me for the same things that I've done. He cut off king's thumbs and big toes and fed the meat under his table. And that's what Judah did to him. Now, when this happened, the news got out that there's the people of Israel, they're coming and they're going to take our land. And fear got in their heart. And they couldn't fight as good. See, when you fighting a snake, a serpent, you cut off the head. Judah started with the head of Canaan, and they destroyed him. They took the land, and these nations you don't hear about anymore. All the nations that Judah won against, you don't hear about those tribes. Now, it talked about Canaan. The whole land was called Canaan. So he took the capital of Canaan, basically, took Jerusalem. Took Luz, Bethel. Bethel used to be Luz. They renamed it and it's relocated, and it explains that. When the tribe of Joseph came, there was a man that showed them how to get into what used to be Luz, which they renamed Bethel. And they made a deal with him, and he went to the Hittites and made another city called Luz. Now all these things are strategic. because they had the plan of God in their heart. They did the plan of God. That was more important than their personal plans. That's what they did. They took to heart what Joshua said before he died. And they went and had great victory. Other tribes, not so much. They did precisely what Joshua told them not to do. Now, driving the Canaanites out of their land is not easy, even though they had fear in their heart. It wasn't easy. You know, you put yourself in the Canaanites' position. They had their mighty walls in Jericho, and the walls sunk in the ground. You know, if the walls fell over, they would have still been there because they was as tall as they were wide. You know, they were wide as they were tall. They sunk down in the soil. And when the whole tribe obeyed God, and they were silent for 6 days, and they blew the trumpet on the seventh day to worship God, and the walls sunk in the ground. So when you get on one accord with God, you're going to see walls sink in the ground. And you're going to know what I know, that if you follow God, your life is so mighty. It's so mighty, and you don't have to be feeble anymore. You don't have to be beggarly anymore. A lot of Christians, they can't see what I'm saying because they look to people who have put them in fear. Preachers that are fearful use fear tactics. Preachers that are prideful use fear tactics. And it always seduces people into believing they can't do as much. And I've seen both types. Preachers of faith with the love of God in their heart, they don't use fear tactics at all. They'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you to study to show yourself approved. They'll tell you to study so that you can defeat the enemy in your life and have victory. They'll tell you to do God's plan and don't let it drop. They'll tell you to stick with what God give you over time. They'll teach you how to meet all your challenges. But fearful preachers don't do that. And so people who go to church and they sit under fearful people, they learn to fear. And they learn that, and they don't put God first. Putting God first is doing what their fearful preachers said in their mind and in their heart. But when you take the word of God in your heart, you begin to grow beyond man. And when people begin to grow beyond man, those prideful preachers and fearful preachers, they get in fear and they turn people against those who are endeavoring towards God. Why? Because they are afraid that they will take the church or take position or steal attention. Fearful people and prideful people love attention. And when you act on fear, you produce whatever you fear. And you weaken the people. False prophets always, this is why they weaken the people. They don't trust God. They trust something else. They act like they trust something else because they do trust something else. And when they happen to trust the world, they fail. And they're afraid they're going to fail. And they do fail. And they fail in the eyes of people who will look up to them as men of God. And some are lazy. They don't study. It's the same scenario. They don't. If a pastor don't grow, then the people, they expect to do no more. And they'll just get used to having nothing. And I'm not talking about finance. I'm talking about the knowledge of God. And I've heard preaching where people preach excuses. And they say, why is they trying to stay in God's will, God's so-called will, by not growing. And they make excuses for not growing, not in depth. So they believe they're trapped. They believe everybody's trapped. They believe nobody can get any further than they do. But when you do follow God and go forward, Then they got to deal with it. If they're around the light long enough, they'll catch on. But when people believe wrong, and you're doing greater, then they demonize it first. They say that they must have something going on with Satan because they're prospering. I can't prosper like that. That's how people think when they've been seduced. Then they get angry. But when you continually love people and you're growing, they're gonna, once they get a glimpse of Jesus, if there's any love left in them, they'll get out of that darkness. Most people don't do what Judah did. Judah means praise. Judah was the brother that took greater responsibility. Reuben was the firstborn, but he slept with his father's wife. Israel said, "You'll never excel." He felt bad about it. He repented, and he always tried to excel, but he couldn't. He couldn't excel over Judah. If you look at how they started, how they were born, there's an order. Then, in Revelation, look at the order of Revelation. The tribes that God put first, they're not in their birth order. There's a birth order, and then there's an order of faithfulness. In Revelation, there's an order of faithfulness. In the book of Judges, there's also an order that they had attained to. Look at it. See if it matches the birth order. See which tribes were first and which ones were last. And if you wonder why Dan was missing like I used to in Revelation and replaced with Manasseh, Dan was the only tribe that ran from their enemy and didn't fight them. They was always on the run, and that wasn't enough, that they didn't have 144,000 to represent that tribe. That was the most lost tribe. And I'm sure there's some Danites about, but they were missing in Revelation. They didn't have 144,000 virgin men. And I believe the virgin means they were not idolatrous. They didn't have a representation of the first fruit. They ran from their enemies. Why would they run from their enemies? Because they had fear in their heart. Why didn't they get out of the boats in Deborah's song? Why did Dan stay in ships, she sang? So you have to watch the patterns that people set up. Judah won seven battles, and after Judah won the seven battles, other tribes compromised. Joseph took some land. Benjamin took some land. The other ones made compromising deals, which God said don't do. Now, you got a bigger problem. Now, you got people that are evil mixing with the people of God, marrying the people of God, having children with the people of God, and when you compromise, Satan wins the compromise. So now you got a problem of devil worshipers, which is Baal worshipers, in the midst. And the world makes itself look good, but it's an illusion. The world makes itself look better, or attempts to make itself look better, but when you know God, you know it's just another lie. When you know the Lord your God, you know darkness, you know light, and you stick with the light. When you drive the darkness out, the darkness is gone. It can't trouble you. But they married the darkness. What do you expect? Then that darkness caused more problems. They had wars. So an enemy would rise up against them, and God would allow it. Then they would cry out to God. And then they had to do battles for the rest of their existence. They had to fight. There's more bloodshed in Israel than any other country in the world. Henry Grover didn't want to go and walk that land because there's been so much bloodshed that he could hear the blood cry from the ground. Now, when there were several six wars that they had to fight between the time that Judah took this land and the Book of Ruth. Now this is I'm isolating to the Book of Judges. Judah did things, and you didn't see some of the tribes that he. You don't read about them because he drove them out. They were not a people. They went somewhere else. And if you get driven out of your land, you're just not a king anymore. You got to have your kingdom. If you go somewhere else, somebody else is the king. And you get assimilated there or driven completely out of the land and start over somewhere in a foreign country. In some desert somewhere. Out of the jurisdiction of Judah. So the other tribes compromised. So they had to fight Moab. God raised up Ehud. He killed Eglon. And they won a battle against the Moabites. And God raised up Gideon against the battle of Midian. He won. And then the tribes of Ammon rose up. And then they had internal problems. Abimelech rose up, son of Jephthah. Gilead, son of Gilead, I'm sorry. So they had to deal with their internal problem. And God raised up Jephthah to fight against Ammon. And Ammon and Amalek helped Moab. So they defeated those three for that time. Ehud did. And after Jephthah, he took land. Then the Ephraimites did this twice. After Gilead had his victories, the Ephraimites wanted to fight because they fought without them. They were cowardly. They were too cowardly to help. And then they got their pride was provoked. And this happens in the church. If you follow Jesus, you'll see what happens. Sometimes things put you in other people's positions. A woman that's beautiful, they know what men are like. They know which ones will try to talk to them. Everywhere they go, they get the stares. They know they're pretty, so they know what people will do. Women that's not as beautiful, they don't get that kind of attention. So their life is different. Now, if you start, I use this as an example because if you start following Jesus and doing what he said to do and drawing near to him and going forward, people that are not going forward, people that are not going forward and not growing, and they see you growing, they're going to feel a way of, they're going to feel something. They're going to either thank God for the insight and they're going to follow it, or they're going to get jealous. And sometimes people get jealous and they try to leave your presence. They speak with short conversations and they don't want to be around the light. If you walk in the light, you'll know what's what. Some people will appreciate it, some people will not. Fearful people won't. Prideful people will hate you. And the only way to know that is to follow God. Now, if you do the victories like you're supposed to and you go forward, you'll see the difference. The reason I'm bringing this up is because when people are growing and endeavoring, the enemy always raises up somebody to bring resistance. This is why plans of God fail. Because when people go forward, you don't just get opposition from the world, you expect that, but you get internal opposition from tares, from jealous-hearted Christians that won't grow up. Some people feel that way, but they won't act on it. And you, when you walk in the light, you show people what they are. It's noticeable. You'll know it. And then you pray for their strength. Because we love everybody. Everybody can do the same thing if they will, but they, for whatever reason, they choose not to. If you keep trusting God, you're going to keep growing. And eventually, hopefully, people will come to a point that they go back to Ephesians 4 and desire that all are one. That's our goal in the church, for all to be one. For all to be one. And for us to be on one accord with each other, we have to be on one accord with Jesus Christ. And the more we get on one accord with Jesus Christ, the more we'll be on one accord with each other. We have different strengths and weaknesses. Where I'm strong, you may be already strong, and you, or wherever I'm weak, you may be strong, and you can help me to come up. Where I'm strong, you may be weak, and I can help you come up. That's how it works. People die because they don't recognize the body, just like the communion misunderstanding in Corinthians. Corinthians had a problem with competition, and God had to set order. If you don't recognize the body, that's why some die prematurely. That's why some are sickly. See, your weaknesses will continue if you don't stop it. If you don't ever drive it out, it's going to stay there. If you don't get rid, whatever seeds you don't drive out of you, of the world, they will cause you to fall. They will cause you problems, unnecessary problems, divorces, estranged children, estranged friendships, failure, disobedience against God, jealousy against other people who are following God. If you get rid of envy and strife, you get rid of all the evil works that it's going to cause with it. If you get rid of the seed form of evil, you get rid of all the problems it's going to cause. They didn't just have external enemies, they had internal enemies. And they had, you know, this thing was big. Jephthah, he already had to avenge Israel of the external enemies, but he killed 42,000 Ephraimites. They had married these crazy folks, and they had become just as crazy. They didn't see Israel as Israel. They saw Israel as an enemy. So that's how tares are. Tares are dangerous folk. And lukewarm Christians are just as, are worse. And, you know, months ago I talked about, I asked the Lord for a reference. A lukewarm Christian is like Saul. And a terrorist like Doeg. Doeg did what Saul wanted him to do. He killed a priest without a flinch under King Saul's order. King Saul had gotten into pride. And when the woman cast the millstone down and broke the, with all the, to break the man's head, she did. And he died. He asked his servant to kill him. And when Saul did the very same thing, he asked an Amalekite to kill him. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Pride is deadly.